Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Women of Grace, Faith, and Courage, part two of our awesome Bible study series. The Lord is so good. It is called Wait Well. If you did not listen to part one, you want to stop now and go to all the platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, I think it's on Pandora, and check out part one, because the Lord has given me six ways for those who are in a season of waiting, six ways that we can wait well, right? Because as the Lord reemphasized in part one, how we wait matters. How we wait matters. And so part one, I shared the first three ways that we can wait well. So now in part two, I'm going to close out this Bible study series. This will be the final Bible study series of this year. Woo! November and December will be months of sort of strategic consecration and just time with just family and just seeking the Lord and just kind of being at his feet. And so no Bible study series for the months of November and December. And I did share again, even in the email, the word of the Lord from part one. So I pray that this series has been an encouragement to those who are in a season of waiting. It has certainly been an encouragement to me to release that which the Lord has so graciously deposited into my heart to be released into his beloved daughters and sons, because this word is not specific just to women. Although this is a women's ministry, this word can be shared, or this podcast series, excuse me, this Bible study series can be shared with brothers in the faith as well that are in a season of waiting. It is not specific to just the Lord's beloved daughters, but to just those, his children that are in a season of waiting. And so I'm just going to get us started in just a brief word of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just worship and adore you, God. There's truly none like you, Lord. We thank you for just this series. God, I thank you for just how you encourage us, God. Strategic encouragement. You know when to send a word to your children and through whom and how and in what way and what we need. God, you're so mindful of us, God. And we are so thankful for you and to you for all that you do, God. Just the many ways that you have delivered us. I mean, you kept us. You are yet keeping us, God. And then even in the little things, God, that we sometimes overlook, but it's your hand and your providence, God, that was the reason why it happened. So we thank you for just the favor and the blessings, God. It's just the things you have already done, that you are doing, and that you have yet to do in your name and for your glory, God. So I thank you for this series, and thank you for all that you're going to do. Speak through me, Lord. Just speak through me, so that every word that is released tonight, that it really ministers to the hearts of the hearer, God, in the way that only you know they need to be ministered to, God. So I just thank you. We honor you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. 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 All right. So in the first part of this Bible study series, I shared the first three ways that the Lord gave us, or that the Lord sort of shared with us in terms of how we can wait well. And those first three was serving while we wait, loving while we wait, and seeking the Lord while we wait. Again, if you did not listen to part one, please run on over, race on over to hear what the Lord shared with us in part one. I'm going to move on to part two. These are the final three nuggets or gems from the Lord on how we can wait well. And number four is, we can be faithful to the Lord and to the things of God while we wait. Now let's look at the word faithful. Faithful means to remain loyal and steadfast. Sometimes when we are in a season of waiting and we are getting frustrated and discouraged, we begin, some of us, many of us, thank you, Holy Spirit, we begin to give up and give in to the enemy regarding the faithfulness that we may have once had to the Lord and to the things of God, because we're allowing our emotions to get the best of us. In this season of waiting, we must not and cannot and shall not allow our emotions to get the best of us, because we're going to end up actually delaying the thing that God wants to manifest, like that promise, whatever it is that we're waiting on, because of our emotions. And we're actually not going to be able to see and appreciate and embrace this season of waiting waiting, because as I mentioned in part one, I believe God isn't just making us wait because he's a big angry father and he just wants us to be waiting. And no, if we're waiting, if we are in a season of waiting, it's because God works in seasons. He works in seasons. He is a God of process. So if we are waiting, there's a reason why we're waiting. And so how we wait matters. That's what the Lord says. How we wait matters. So we cannot give up on the things that God has called us to, on our ministry, on serving in our church homes, or on being faithful to the people that God has maybe entrusted with us to, or even just in different situations. We cannot give up. We have to remain faithful to the Lord and to the things of God while we wait. So that way we will not allow frustration to prevent us from remaining faithful, because God honors faithfulness. He honors faithfulness. It is evident throughout the Bible, many, many Bible stories, so many examples of how God honors faithfulness, so many examples. And so we don't want to quit being faithful because we're feeling discouraged, or we're mumbling and grumbling and we don't have the right posture because we're tired of waiting. I'm so tired of waiting, Lord. When? Why? Why? Why am I waiting so long? This person has this. This person has that. Why am I waiting so long? But we just have to remain faithful. God, help me. And that can be a prayer. Help me to remain faithful to you and to the things of you, the kingdom things, while I wait on the manifestation of that which you have promised me, whether it be a baby, a child, a kingdom spouse, a ministry, a kingdom business. I mean, there's so many things that we could be waiting on. So this Bible study series, some of it, many parts of it, were relevant to those who are in a season of singleness, but that's not just who the Lord is speaking to. He's also speaking to those who are in just a waiting season for other things as well. And so we just bless the name of the Lord, because he knows that this must be a corporate issue. So he's sending a corporate word so that he can encourage and refresh and strengthen and renew our trust and faith and dependency in the true and living God, right? The one who declares the end from the beginning. He knows all things. And according to Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a season and time for everything. Every activity, every purpose under the heaven, there's a season for it. So if you were in, like when I was in my season of singleness, there was a reason for it. I loved it. I embraced it. I got close to the Lord, so close to the Lord, my season of singleness. I did things. I served. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, I just really had an awesome time of just fellowship with the Lord. And so once I got out of that season of singleness, it's a different season. But God, he works in seasons. So if we're in a waiting season, or we're in a season of singleness, or whatever, we're in a waiting season, we thank the Lord for the process. God, I don't know why I'm waiting, but I trust you that in the right time, your time, at the appointed time. Remember when the Lord spoke to Abram about Sarah having Isaac, when he sent the three angels or the three visitors to the house, and they said at this time next year, at the appointed time, Sarah will have, she'll conceive, right? She'll have a son. She'll conceive. It was an appointed time. God works in appointed times. His divine timing. Not ours, not the world's, right? Biological clocks, all of that. Get all of that, right? Understand all of that. But God supersedes the power. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The miraculous power of God supersedes, supersedes biological clocks and medical, you know, concerns and all of the things that I totally get in the natural. When we look at things in the natural, it paints a different narrative. That's why it is important for us to look at things in the spirit. How do we view the waiting season? How do we view what God is saying, not what man is saying? We respect doctors and physicians and all of that. We do. We respect them. God has given them great wisdom, and they've studied the body and the anatomy and all of that. We so respect them. But there is no God like Jehovah. He has the final say, and he is a God who can do anything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord, right? So while we're waiting in our season of waiting, we have to be encouraged, be reading the scriptures, be declaring, confessing the scriptures over our lives in Jesus' name. How we wait matters. So number four is be faithful to the Lord, to the things of God while you wait. Number five, allow the Lord full access to your heart while you wait. Now, what do I mean when I say this? This is actually specific to single sisters and brothers. And this is specific to single sisters and brothers because sometimes we're in a season of waiting And there's things that God needs to heal us from. Oh, glory to God. There's some things that God needs to heal our heart from, some unresolved deep heart issues that some things only know you and the Lord know about. And there's sometimes some deep, deep trauma and other things that the Lord actually needs. He needs an invitation in. Thank you, Lord. He needs access into your heart to be able to do the work that only the great sovereign heart surgeon can do while you're waiting for your spouse, right? There's always, I say it again, because the Lord just keeps impressing upon my spirit. There's always a reason why the Lord has us in a waiting season. Right. And what we can do during that time, specifically single sisters and brothers, is we can throw ourselves at the altar. Now, what do I mean when I say that? I mean, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, you have full access to my heart, mind, body, soul, whatever it is that needs to be healed, that I need to be delivered from. I had things that God had to heal me of and deliver me from. Abandonment, rejection, growing up in a house with an alcoholic parent. I mean, there's trauma. There's childhood trauma. God had to heal me from some things. Because if he didn't, there would be certain things that would residue that would be in my heart that would actually spill over or contaminate my marriage, right? If I did not allow the Lord in to do the work. And so when I say lay ourselves at the altar, I mean, give the Lord full access to work in our heart, to work in our mind, to deliver us, to break us free from any generation of asata, any generational mindsets, anything that may be hindering us from receiving the manifestation. God, let me lay myself at the altar. God, let me just be completely open to what you need to do in my heart while I'm in this season of waiting. Let's not compartmentalize, because so many of us, we say, okay, Lord, help me work on this. But then there's deeper things that we're not letting the Lord in on. And see, the Lord, as they say, he's a gentleman. So he's not going to force his way into our heart to do the work. Absolutely not. There has to be an invitation. And once we say, Lord, we throw our hands up, right, in a posture of surrender. We say, whoo, Holy Spirit, have your way. There's some things, God, that I have been hiding. There's some things, God, that I have been running from. Oh my goodness. There's some things, God, that I have been sweeping under the rug, that I just see like like dust and dirt being swept under a rug. And so when that happens, it's not actually being cleaned. It's just being covered. Right? And so if it's being covered, that dust and dirt is just going to simply remain until the rug is lifted and it's actually cleaned. So what's happening in our hearts is that there's unresolved heart issues that are actually, if we aren't careful, contaminating other areas of our lives, because we are not receiving the healing and deliverance that we need, that only the Lord can do. See, we can suppress things, which means we can choose to sweep heart issues under the rug. But see, they always are going to find a way to be exposed. They're always going to find a way to rear their ugly head in one shape or another. So if we don't allow the Lord full access to our heart while we wait, those unresolved heart issues, childhood trauma, grief, heartache, whatever, rejection, they're going to manifest. Oh my goodness, glory. They're going to manifest themselves in, if the Lord were to give us a marriage or were to give us our kingdom spouse, they would actually, those things would manifest themselves in our marriage. The Lord knows. So lay ourselves at the altar. Lord, have your way in my heart. Do the work. Deliver me in the areas I need deliverance from. I don't care if people are saying, you don't need deliverance, girl. You good. You don't need deliverance, bro. You're good. No, you know. I knew. You know. Lord, expose anything in me that needs to be healed. Expose anything in me that I need to be delivered from. Allow the Lord full access to our heart while we wait. Glory, 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 glory. Number five. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. So that was number five. Number six. Guard our heart while we wait. Guard your heart while you wait. This is a really big one because the Lord broke it down into three parts. I love the Lord. He is so specific. And so this is how we know that we know that we know that this is the Lord speaking, because I couldn't come up with this on my best day. Just not that bright at all. But we can do nothing apart from the Lord. But when the Lord shares and deposits and downloads with us, we receive it first as ministers, and then we release that right into the ears and hearts and minds of the people of God. And so there are three things that the Lord is encouraging us to guard our hearts from. Number six, again, is for those who are taking notes, is guard your heart while you wait. The first thing the Lord said to guard our heart from is discontentment. So let's look at the word contentment. Contentment is defined as being satisfied with what one is or has, not wanting more or anything else. Completely satisfied with what we are and what we have, not wanting more or anything else. Now, contentment is different from being complacent. Complacent is when we are just okay with not striving to be better and to do more. And we're just okay with just being mediocre. This is totally different. Contentment is, as Apostle Paul spoke it in Philippians 4:11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. So contentment is something that is learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Right. He is saying, I don't want for more because I've learned. And then the other part of the passage goes on to say, whether I'm abased or abound, meaning whether I have a lot or have a little, I've learned to be content. Because at the end of the day, Apostle Paul's life was completely hidden in Christ. So as long as he had Christ, nothing else mattered. And if we are not completely satisfied in Christ, we are never going to be satisfied with whatever it is we're waiting for. Spouse, child, ministry, whatever it is, if we are not completely satisfied in Christ, we will never be satisfied with anything else that is given to us. We will always want more. We will always want more. So we have to ask the Lord to help us, to teach us how to be content in whatever state we are in. So whether we're waiting, whether we have a little bit, a lot, whether we have a little bit of friends, a number of people, I mean, whatever it is, we must learn to be content. Another scripture that the Lord brought before me is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Right. So again, the first thing that we have to guard our heart from is discontentment. So we go before the Lord. If we are struggling with being content, we take it before the Lord. Everything that we are battling with, we take it to the altar. The Bible says to cast our cares, right, our worries, our anxieties onto the Lord. Why? Because he cares, right? That's why, right? That is why. That's 1 Peter 5:7. We cast all of our worries onto him. We cast all of our care upon him, for he cares for us, right? So we don't need to fight, to wrestle with anything. We don't need to be anxious. We need to leave things at the altar. Our anxieties, our worries, our burdens, if we're wrestling with discontentment, we go before the Lord in prayer. Lord, help me. It ain't got to be a fancy prayer. Lord, help me. If that's all that you and I can say in our times of distress is, Lord, help me, then that's what we say to the Lord, right? David, if we've been through any of the Psalms or read at least one of the Psalms, and if you've read many of the Psalms, what the theme was for David, the common theme throughout, was that he called on the Lord in his distress. Every season of David's life, he called upon the name of the Lord. Wilderness, rejoicing, praising, fleeing from his enemies, fleeing from Saul, fleeing from his son. He called on the name of the Lord. And the Psalms say, I cried out to my God. I called upon his name in my distress, and he heard me. That is also consistent throughout the book of Psalms. God heard him. God heard him. But it's not just that God heard David, but God hears us. He hears you. When you're praying and going before the Lord and crying out, please know, sister or brother, God hears you. He hears you. So if you're wrestling with discontentment, leave it at the altar. Take it before the Lord. The second thing that the Lord said we must be careful to guard our heart from while we wait, we must. Oh, this one is so deep. We must guard our heart from covetousness. Now, covetousness, it is a sin. Now, let's look at the word covet. To covet is to have what someone else has. So to covet is not to want more. Excuse me. To covet is not to want more. It is actually to have what somebody else has. So it is to see somebody in a marriage and say, well, that should have been my husband. That should have been my wife. That should have been my ministry. That's a deep, 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 deep heart issue. And it is connected to discontentment. If you and I are coveting anything from our neighbor, when I say neighbor, I don't mean like the neighbor next door. I mean neighbor is in our fellow brother or sister. We have to ask the Lord to help us with this. We have to ask the Lord to purge us and purify our heart from covetousness. It is a sin. So we first must repent and confess this thing to the Lord. Lord, I have to confess. The Bible says if we confess our sins, oh, glory, 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 right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and forgive us of all unrighteousness, right? That's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, right? So we have to lay that thing at the altar because covetousness is a serious sin. And we know that from the Old Testament. And although we are no longer under the Mosaic law, coveting is still a sin. And it's still connected to a deeper heart issue. And so in Exodus 20 verse 17, one of the commandments was you shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Anything that is somebody else's, and you are saying, even if you don't say it out loud, but you're saying in your heart, that should have been mine. That he should have been my husband. She should have been my wife. That ministry should have been mine. That's what I wanted, Lord. That's a deep heart issue. We have to lay it before the Lord. Some of the questions that come from a place, you can know when your heart is in a place, when your heart's posture is one that is coveting, because these are the things that you may ask yourself, or you may say to the Lord, why can't I have what she has, Lord? Why can't I have what he has, Lord? Don't you love me enough to give me what I want? Did I not serve God? Am I not serving faithfully? Why can't I have that marriage? Why can't I have that ministry? What more do I need to do, Lord? At its root, coveting is the result of envy. See, covetousness is so deep, it's layers to it. And if you and I are at any covetousness in our heart, oh, please, sisters and brothers, let's take it before the Lord, because coveting is the result of envy. It is a sin, which once it takes root in the heart, it actually leads to worse sins. Let's look at the word envy. Envy is a painful or resentful awareness of another's advantage joined with the desire to possess that same advantage. So essentially, we are aware and resenting the blessings, right, that someone else has, because now I'm looking at it in the spirit, and we have a desire to have that same thing. Well, I want that same blessing, Lord, right? And so the response to covetousness is actually to reshift our focus to God. That's what the Lord was showing me. Our response to covetousness is to reshift our focus to God. Lord, help me not to look to the left or the right. Lord, help me to set my affection, my attention on you. Lord, help me to see that if I'm in a season of waiting while other people are being blessed, Lord, help me to celebrate them and help me to say, I got next, right? And even if next is not next month or next year, I still know I got next at some point because you said it. You spoke it to me, because if we're waiting on a manifestation of God's promise, that means God has spoken to us, whether it's a word or a promise from the word of God, or there's a prophetic word or something that the Lord showed us in a dream or vision, or something that the Lord has actually spoken to us directly. That means it's ours. It's a promise that God has made to us. He is faithful to perform the promise. So we don't need to covet or want what anybody else has. We don't need to resent the blessings that somebody else has, because God has something for us. And we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it if we have a heart posture of envy. We're going to miss it if we have a posture of mumbling and grumbling before the Lord. If we have a posture of, why can't I have this? This is supposed to be mine. We are going to miss the blessing, and we're going to continue to remain in a posture of waiting, because God says you're not ready. And you're not ready until you can be content in the season of waiting and learn how to celebrate others. You're not ready. We're not ready. And envy is a dangerous sort of heart's posture to have. It really, really is. It leads to other things. Jealousy and envy. The Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's all kinds of other things, that there's division, and there's all kinds of other things that are going to happen in a place where there's envy and strife, right? Where there's envy and strife. right? Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. So we don't want to be in a place or operate from a posture of envy or of covetousness, which is all connected to discontentment. So again, the response to our covetousness, is to reshift our focus to God. Lord, help me focus only on you. Lord, help me to celebrate others and see that it has their blessings do not take away or negate the promise that you've given me. It doesn't take away, doesn't diminish it, doesn't reduce what you've spoken to me. It's just that their season is, they're in a different place in their season than I am. And then when I get to the other place, I don't want other people to be envious of me. I want other people to celebrate with me, right? So we reap what we sow. So if we're having a problem celebrating others, we will not be surprised that people will have a problem celebrating us. We reap what we sow. The world calls it karma. The world takes all kinds of things from the Bible, name it something else. That's not my assignment. But the Bible says you reap what you sow. Amen. The last thing that the Lord said we must guard our heart from. Oh, this one is so good and so very important in this season. In this season, somebody need to turn the volume up. Write this one down in uppercase letters. In this season, we must guard our heart from naysayers. Now, if you don't know what a naysayer is somebody who says something is not possible. They're somebody who says something is not good. There's somebody who says something will fail. Those who don't operate in the level of faith that we should be operating in, or that maybe we are operating in, they are a naysayer. In this season, we must watch who we share things with in this season, because naysayers, some of them mean no harm. Some people just don't have the level of faith that we have. So there will be no reason why we should share visions or dreams or big things that God is showing us he's going to do with us, or big things that we're waiting for. There's no reason for us to share it with somebody who we know is always going to question the word of the Lord, who we know is actually going to plant seeds of negativity, and who we know like clockwork. I don't even know why we share with people who always has something negative to say. Hold our peace. We have to learn to just move, just be silent. Let the Lord move through us in silence. Like, let the Lord just show himself mighty through the manifestation of the promise. Guard your heart from naysayers. Guard your heart from naysayers. And they are saved. I'm not talking about unbelievers. You expect unbelievers to be naysayers. They don't know the Lord. But there are Christians that we have been speaking to and that we have around us that are naysayers, and they don't mean any harm, but the enemy will use them to plant seeds of discouragement and doubt because they don't see things through the same spiritual lens that you and I do. They don't. And it doesn't mean they're a bad person, but that means in this season, you cannot share certain things with them. Ask the Lord to give you discernment to know who to share what with and when to just keep things to ourselves, right? Because again, when we're operating in faith and we're waiting for the Lord to manifest a promise, we want to be waiting in faith, because how we wait matters. We don't want to wait and have negative questions and negative thoughts rolling through our mind. Well, I don't think the Lord's going to do it. Well, you know what so-and-so said, girl, you still waiting on your husband. You've been waiting 20. Girl, you still practicing holiness. You might as well give it up. Oh my good sisters and brothers. If you are practicing the wait, meaning you are waiting in abstinence for your kingdom spouse, do not allow anyone that is around you, saved, not saved, super saved, I don't care. Do not let anyone that is around you tell you that you should somehow do something different or compromise your posture of purity in this season so that you can give in to some things that the enemy may want you to give into. Glory to God. Remain holy. Remain faithful to your covenant to God to keep yourself pure until marriage. Even if you may have already had sex prior to the season, don't matter. You, if you made a renewed covenant to the Lord in this season to guard your, to keep, to honor your body and wait on marriage, honor that covenant. Do not fall victim to the enemy's discouragement that tell you, you might as well give in, give up. Nobody's coming. The Lord ain't sending you no husband. The devil is a liar. He wants you and I to live in sin. He wants you and I to actually forfeit the promises of God. He wants you and I to actually cause delay. See, he can't stop what God's going to do, but we can delay it through sin. We don't want to be in a fornicating relationship when God really hasn't sent us our husband. Oh my God. We don't want to be in in a fornicating relationship when God hasn't even sent us our husband. But we have allowed seeds of the enemy and seeds from different naysayers to be planted to actually position us to be, to yield to the flesh. Thank you, Lord. To yield to the flesh when really we should be fully submitted to the Spirit. Fully submitted to the Spirit. Walking fully in the Spirit. Walking fully in the Spirit. Walking fully in the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Be led by the Spirit. And when the voice comes up and says, you've been waiting too long honoring your body. If you do this one time, maybe this is your husband, but maybe he just needs you to give this to him. The devil is a liar. The Lord is not going to send a man that's going to tell you or even encourage you to practice fornication. Now, I'm not talking about wrestling with flesh. That's something different. A man that's wrestling with his flesh, that's a man of God. That's something different from a man that is intentionally telling you that the Lord is going to be okay with you and he fornicating. It is not of God. Flee, run the other way. Come out of it now. If you're already in it, I feel like this is an invitation and this is conviction from the Lord. Come out of it now. Repent, flee, block him, her, whatever you need to do to come out of sin. Come out of it in this season of waiting. Make a renewed covenant to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. I feel this thing so strongly. So somebody, this is speaking to somebody. And I pray in the name of Jesus. That you would understand that this is the Lord that is speaking. It is the Lord that wants to get a hold of you. It is the Lord that wants to pull you out of sin. It's the Lord that wants to pull you out of fornication in the name of Jesus. It's the Lord that wants you to wait well, not wait in sin, not wait in discouragement, not wait in envy, not wait in covetousness, but to wait well on the manifestation of the promise of our Father who is faithful to perform his word. If he said it, he's going to perform it. If he said it, then we should believe it. He is not a man that he should lie. He is not like us. We are fickle and we are fleeting and we are flaky at best, but he is perfect in all his way. His word is tried. His word is tried. That means we can take the check that the Lord wrote to the bank. My God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father. So God, I thank you, Lord. I'm just going to end in a prayer because I just feel the spirit of prayer coming up. And this is all that I had to share. And I'm just going to end in a prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this Bible study. So God, I pray to you, just minister to us, God. God, that you would just continue to speak to us, God. God, I thank you for the refreshing and the convicting, God. God, I thank you that conviction is healthy, God. Conviction pulls us out of sin. Conviction helps us repent and be restored in our relationship with you. God, I thank you for the gift of repentance in the name of Jesus. God, I speak to every person under the sound of my voice that is in anything that is not pleasing to you. God, I pray right now that you would convict them, that you would expose it, God, and they will go running to the altar confessing. God, I thank you that as soon as they confess, God, that you have forgiven them immediately, God, that they know that you're not like, you're not condemning them. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that you love each and every one of us. You love us even in our sin, but yet you hate sin and you desire to see your children to come out of it in the name of Jesus, God. So I thank you for this Bible study series. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for how this word is going to continue to be played and replayed, God, and the anointing is going to be just as fresh as it was when they replay it, right? When they listen to it through the various platforms, God, as it is right now in the name of Jesus. God, I just thank you for how you just flowed tonight, God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, God, in every area of our heart, mind, and soul that needs to be purified. We lay it at the altar in the mighty name of Jesus. God, have your way, God. We don't want to be the same way. We're ending this year, going into a new one, God. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. God, help us, God. Help us to say, Lord, I give myself, God, I give my body to you as a living sacrifice. Glory to God. Holy and acceptable, God. Help us not to be conformed to the patterns and the thoughts and the ways of this world, God, but help us to be renewed. Help us to be renewed. Keep our minds renewed by reading the word of God so that it can encourage us and strengthen us, God, and keep us on the right path. Help us to walk blameless before you, God. Help us to walk uprightly in the name of Jesus. Help us to be holy, for you, God, are holy. Help us, oh Lord. Help us. We cry out. We cannot do anything without you, God. Oh, shit, huh? Apart from you, we are nothing, God. Not a thing, nothing, 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 God. Even the best things we do are filthy rags before you, God. So I thank you, Lord. Have your way, oh Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Burn away anything that is not like you in the mighty name.
name of Jesus, God. Hey, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we bless you on tonight, God. We thank you, thank you, thank you. It is in your mighty, precious name that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen, amen, everyone. Part two. And this is it. This concludes this Bible study series. What a blessing. I'm stirred up. Always stirred up. The Lord just came through and does what only he can do. He just lights a fire under us. Aren't you so? I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. So we bless the name of our King, our Lord and Savior. He is wonderful. Oh, he's so wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. Yes, God, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're magnificent. You're magnificent. You're magnificent. You are wonderful. You are counselor. You are everlasting father. You are prince of peace. Ora Shetando. You are a mighty, mighty God. And we bless you, God. We exalt you. Be magnified, God. Be glorified, God. Be lifted high. I thank you that you are the ruler of all of the earth, God. Woo, my God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you. We praise you. It is in your name that we pray. Amen, amen. Amen, amen, everyone. Please share both parts of this Bible study as the Holy Spirit leads the obedient. We don't know who the Lord can minister to through this series. So I love you all. I will be sending a couple emails here and there throughout my time of strategic consecration. But I look forward to January and just some things I have that the Lord has given me to do for wives. I'm excited about that as well. So, all right. Love you all. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.